When it comes to showing appreciation, the gift you choose says everything. Minky Couture luxury blankets make the perfect statement. Soft, stylish, and unforgettable. Whether you're thanking a client, rewarding an employee, or celebrating a milestone, nothing delivers warmth and gratitude like a Minky blanket. With custom options and elegant packaging, your gift will stand out and be remembered long after the moment has passed. Make your corporate gifting extraordinary with Minky Couture, luxury you can feel. Visit minkycouture.com to get started.
Live on air, presented by Ger Sweeney.
Good evening and welcome. It's nice to have your company once again on the Irish programme, live on air, right here on Talk Radio Europe. My name is Ger Sweeney, as that man just said, and I'm with you for the next hour or thereabouts. If you'd like to get in contact with the programme at any stage, whether we're on air or after the programme, you can email me, Ger, G-E-R, at talkradioeurope.com. What have I got coming up on the programme for you this evening? Well, TFI, Transport for Ireland, has just launched a new campaign, a Baby on Board campaign. You may often see on cars, baby on board signs. Well, I'll tell you what that's all about very shortly. On Thursday, I took to the road and went off to a beautiful village in the mountains behind Estepona, a beautiful village by the name of Henwathil. And there's a wonderful art exhibition going on there at the moment. And I wanted to bring it to your attention because it would make a lovely spin and it'd be a lovely visit. And we'll tell you more about it shortly. Peter O'Dwyer will be talking to us about what was happening in relation to Brexit and Ireland. And I'll be talking to Enterprise Ireland's manager here in Spain. He also looks after Portugal, but I'm going to be talking to him about trade between Ireland and Spain. We have a Eurovision memory for you this week. There'll be some historical facts, and we'll take a look at some of the birthdays coming up, some famous Irish birthdays coming up in the next week or thereabouts. A man by the name of David Evans, born in Barking in London in 1961. He's 57 years old on Wednesday of this week. We know him better as The Edge from U2, and here they are right now with a song called Beautiful Day on the Irish programme, live on Era, right here on Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain.
The heart is a blue, shoots up through the stony ground. There's no room, no space to rent in this town. You're out of luck, and the reason that you had to care, the traffic is stuck. You're not moving anywhere. You thought you found a friend to take you out of this place. Someone you can lend a hand in return for grace. It's a beautiful.
U2 in a song called Beautiful Day. The Edge, as I told you, born David Evans back in 1961, celebrating his 57th birthday on this coming Wednesday. Other famous Irish people celebrating birthdays or birthdays that we're marking this week would include from today, Conor McPherson, the playwright. He was born on this day, the 6th of August in Dublin back in 1971, so we say happy 47th birthday to him. Daniel O'Connell. There are many O'Connell streets in Ireland. There are many statues to Daniel O'Connell. He was known as the Liberator or the Emancipator. He was born in Cahersiveen in County Kerry on this day back in 1775. Tomorrow, Tuesday the 7th of August, marks the anniversary of the birth of Eamon D'Arcy, wonderful golfer born in Delgany in 1952. Happy 66th birthday to Eamon D'Arcy. On Friday, Roy Keane celebrates his birthday. Do I really need to tell you who Roy Keane is? I don't think so. He was born in Cork 47 years ago on Friday. Saturday, the 11th of August, Eddie Halvey, the rugby player born in Limerick in 1970. Happy 48th birthday to him. And indeed, if you're celebrating a birthday over the next week or so, we wish you a very happy birthday as well. So there we go. Now, that's the first part of the programme done and dusted. I'm going to take a very quick break and come back to me just after that. And I'll be talking to somebody from Enterprise Ireland.
Live on ERA. Presented by Ger Sweeney. Live on ERA. Presented by Ger Sweeney.
As you know, live on ERA, we try and create as many links as we can between Ireland and Spain in both directions. And that goes for whether it's talking about holidays, whether it's talking about cultural events, or whether we're talking about business. And I spotted an article recently on the Sunday Independent in the business section, an article that was written by Alberto Cisterna. And Alberto is the manager for Enterprise Ireland for Spain and Portugal. And the article was headed Opportunities Heat Up for Irish Companies in Soaring Spain. And I thought that would be of interest to our listeners. Alberto joins me on the phone right now. Alberto, good evening and thank you for joining us today. How are you?
Good evening, Jared. Very good. Thank you. How are you?
I'm in top form and thank you for joining us. Now, the article, Alberto, tells us that about 2 million people from Ireland visited Spain back in 2017, but not everybody came just to get a suntan. A lot of that was in relation to business. So can you tell me a little bit about the business that is conducted between Spain and Ireland?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, it's true that Spain is the top destination for Irish tourists, and we are actually seeing an increase as well in businessmen interested in the Spanish market. This is especially strong during the last 2 years. Last year, we saw an increase of almost 100% in the interest from our enterprise and client companies in exploring opportunities in Spain. So it's great news for us.
Okay. Will you tell us a little bit about Enterprise Ireland and the work that you do, particularly here in Spain, in relation to business between Ireland and Spain?
Yes, of course. So as you know, Enterprise Ireland is the national agency for exports of Irish indigenous companies. And across the overseas networks, we have an office here in Madrid, where we cover both Spain and Portugal. So basically, our remit for here is facilitating exports to our Irish Enterprise Ireland clients. That means from zero to hero with regards to validating the opportunity, helping them to size the opportunity that they may have in our markets, and then working along with them with regards to finding a deal and finding an export, always with the objective of creating wealth and jobs in Ireland.
Okay, now back in June, you held something that was called Ambition Italy and Spain. It was an event that was focused on supporting Irish exports to our exporters to explore opportunities, to identify challenges and to develop strategies to succeed. Tell me about that event and how successful, and maybe who was involved with it.
In May 2017, Enterprise Ireland launched the Eurozone strategy, and this is very, very important, and Spain and Portugal will play a big role in that strategy. This means that exports to the Eurozone region by 2020, they should or they will get a growth of plus 50%. With the different events and different activities that we're launching, one is basically to conduct events like this, like Ambition Italy and Spain, in which we can give in a day basically a good idea of what those countries offer, challenges that they may have from a business culture point of view, opportunities by sector. As you may know, Entrepreneurs Ireland is structured on a sector basis in the overseas network, so we have experts in every single field, but we also pivot in market experts that we bring from the countries, in this case from Spain. We brought some Spanish experts to Ireland, so our client companies, they will have a better feel of what they will find in Spain.
Okay. And what sectors at the moment are proving to be particularly healthy?
The ICT sector has historically been the healthiest one in Spain, and this is driven by the fact that we have a big Spanish buyers in that field. But also life sciences with a special emphasis in medical technology. And recently, we've seen big opportunities in Spain in the agribusiness and agri-tech industry. So these are, I think, the sectors that they're doing particularly well. And with the emphasis within ICT as well in fintech, everything around fintech is a hot topic in Spain. We have large banks in Spain that they digitalized quite early, and they are seen as early adopters of technology. So I think we will have big opportunities in the Spanish banks.
In relation to trade between the two countries, we're both European countries. So is it still the responsibility, we'll say, of each country to work with other countries, even within the EU, to try and develop stronger links and to generate more business between each other?
Well, I think that both Spain and Ireland are committed within the EU, and I think the trade links are very, very strong, and they will get stronger. And I think a feel for that is that the trade between the two countries is very, very healthy. The balance is in favor of Ireland, but I think then Spain closed the gap with the 2 million Irish visitors that they come every year. So I think it's great to see that, and it will get, I think, stronger with the work that both agencies are doing. I think there are very, very good prospects to increase the exports from Ireland to Spain.
We know, again, reiterating the fact that both countries are part of the European bloc, but is your eye on Brexit at all? And if it is, what are you thinking about, and what are your concerns in relation to that, or maybe what opportunities exist?
Okay, yes. Well, Brexit, as you know, represents a huge challenge for Irish companies, yeah, and is on top of Entrepreneurs Ireland's agenda. However, the UK is and will remain the largest export market for indigenous Irish companies. Right. However, as I mentioned to you before, since we launched the Eurozone strategy, this is basically one of the activities and the responses that we're going to do, which is basically about diversifying. And I think we're very, very positive with the fact that the Irish companies are looking to other options. One of the challenges we have sometimes is that Irish opportunities find opportunities abroad in countries like the UK, US, Germany, Netherlands, who are stronger partners than Spain. But diversification is going to be a key response to Brexit, and Spain will benefit hugely from that in the sense of exports coming from Ireland.
Now, if somebody is listening to this who might be in Ireland and would like to do business in Spain, or maybe a Spanish company listening to this would like to do business in Ireland, is your office the office to contact?
Well, for the Irish who want to do business in Spain, definitely yes, for those enterprise Ireland client companies. For the Spanish ones who want to buy something from Ireland, that they're looking for a disruptive solution in any single category, yes, we are the agency to contact. However, we don't support the Spanish companies in getting wanted to get penetration into Ireland. But yes, definitely, we can assist our Entrepreneurs Ireland client companies in facilitating contacts here, in giving them a feel of what they're going to find in Spain, and also giving them some business culture and tips about what they will find in Spain.
And can you give me a contact or an email address or a website address that maybe people can check if they wanted to do that?
Yes, of course. My details are in the Entrepreneurs Ireland website. If they find the Spanish office, they will find there my details.
Okay.
And they will find it there. If they go there, they will find all the team there. We are structured by sectors, so they will be able to speak to either to myself or to one of our market advisors.
Okay, that's great. Well, Alberto, it's very interesting to hear how business between the two countries is developing over the last while and continues to do so. We wish you well in your efforts to create further links between Spain and Ireland at Enterprise Ireland. And thank you for taking our call today.
No problem, Jerry. It has been a pleasure. Thank you very much.
I'm the defector, and you're the farmer's daughter. You've been teasing us farm boys till we start talking about those rabbits, George. Oh, won't you tell us about those rabbits, George? I'm the defector, I give it what it needs. Let's make a new world order. Let's make it. Chocolate at the end of my cornetto. I love the way your underwire grind always sets off that X-ray machine. Coming in the land and now I love the color of it all. Blue lights on the runway, I love the color of it all.
Gentlemen from County Kildare put them together. They make wonderful music under the name Bell X1. Talking about Paul Noonan, David Geraghty, Thomas Ahern, and Dominic Phillips, as I said, together, Bellegs One. What a great song that is, called Great Defector. Many of us driving around Ireland or driving around Britain will be familiar with the signs on cars that says baby on board. They've been criticised down through the years and laughed at, but it serves a purpose. Now, I don't recall seeing any bebé a bordo here in Spain, but maybe there are, or maybe something equivalent to it. I'm telling you that because TFI, Transport for Ireland, recently launched a baby on board campaign. And we're going to talk right now to Michelle McCann. And Michelle is in the communications department of the National Transport Authority. And she's going to talk to us about baby on board. Michelle, nice to talk to you and thank you for taking our call today.
Thanks very much, Chair. Great to talk to you.
Indeed it is. Now, before we do that, the National Transport Authority and the Transport for Ireland, is that the same thing?
Yeah, essentially it is. So Transport for Ireland, it's Ireland's single public transport brand. So Transport for Ireland was established by the National Transport Authority essentially to promote and integrate public transport services in Ireland.
All right. So irrespective of how we travel, be it trains or buses or whatever, it's all governed by Transport for Ireland. All right.
Correct.
Baby on board. Tell me about it, please, if you would.
Essentially, what happened was we were getting calls from ladies who were expectant mothers just to see if there was a way to make their commute, their daily commute, more comfortable. So what we did was, in late 2017, Inrod Éireann, which is the Irish Rail Service, they piloted a program whereby they made yellow badges, and if a lady was expecting, she could wear the badge if she wanted, just to discreetly communicate to people that she might be in greater need of a seat at that time.
Right.
So
times have changed in Ireland, and I'm 51, but I was brought up to give a lady a seat if there was a lady nearby who needed one, whether she was pregnant or not, and open doors and let ladies first and things like that. And I suppose a lot of that has gone from society. But on the other side of it, it's happened quite often that a man would say to a woman, listen, love, you're pregnant. Would you like to sit down? And she wouldn't be pregnant at all. Has that been a part of why men are no longer giving seats to women?
No. Well, whether it's a man or a woman, regardless of whether it's a man or a woman, most people on Irish public transport are extremely polite and courteous anyway. Yeah. So, like, they really are, you know, we wouldn't have a problem with that. But what we have found is sometimes it's an isn't she pregnant situation, or it could be just that they're kind of maybe a little bit embarrassed to ask the question or to assume, or if the lady's wearing a coat, maybe you won't know. So the reasoning behind it is, it's not that people wouldn't get up. Most people would certainly get up for a pregnant lady. It's kind of to create a buffer, you know, to that if the lady's wearing the badge, it's kind of like a green light that you can ask her, would she like a seat?
All right. And expectant mothers, how do they get these badges? Do they get them in train stations or bus stations, or what way does it work?
Yeah, absolutely. So at the moment, we have 11 locations nationwide in Ireland. So a lady or a man can just walk in and say, can I have a badge? And they'll get their badge free of charge. And we're developing an online form at the moment, which will be rolled out shortly, where somebody can go online, give their name and address, and a badge will be posted out to them. So we just want to make it as easy as possible, if you want a badge, that you can simply get it.
This is also going to be made available through the maternity services, is that correct?
Yes, so we've got a partnership at the moment with EU Mums. So they give a package to expectant mothers on their 12-week visit to the hospital. So what's going to happen is a badge is going to be inserted into each of those packages. It's around 2,000 packages are given out a month. So the partnership is until early 2019, and we'll review it then once we see the take up and we see what the sentiment is for it.
All right. Just take us back a little bit. You said that Irish Rail had done a pilot on this last year. What was the obvious difference? Did it make an obvious difference? And if so, what was it?
Well, it made a difference to the ladies who were pregnant. They just felt more, let's say if they were on a train, they might be embarrassed or nervous to ask for a seat.
Right.
But the feedback we received was that if they wore a badge, people, if they weren't looking at their smartphones or stuck in a book, if a person saw the badge, they would go out of their way to get up for the person, you know. So it would just mean on both parts, nobody would have to feel awkward or anything. Mm-hmm. So the feedback was that it did make a difference, and it made ladies commutes more comfortable. The fact that they had the badge on made them feel that it removed any awkwardness from the situation.
And you said at the start that there were a number of people had mentioned to you in the past they weren't given seats or they weren't offered seats. Was there a reduction in the number of people that would have made that kind of a phone call or made that kind of connection with you before?
Well, not many ladies who were expecting would have complained. So I don't know, as a group, do they not complain much? I'm not sure. But not many women would have complained beforehand. But afterwards, the positive sense and the positive feedback from ladies having the badge was very obvious. So, like, we don't have any data on, like, thousands of women complaining, definitely it seems to have been very positive having a badge.
And with the sense of humour that goes with the Irish people and society in general back home, was there a bit of fun and a bit of crack had with women who were wearing the badges?
Because it was a small pilot project, we don't really have anything on the Inward Éireann pilot, but I'm sure we will now with this rolling out across all public transport in Ireland. I'm sure there will be some stories coming up.
I'm sure there will. I look forward to hearing all about those ones. Listen, it's a lovely. Yeah. I thought it was a lovely campaign, and I hope that it works really well for the ladies concerned. And if anybody wants more information, I'm sure it's available on your website, the National Transport Authority, or indeed Transport for Ireland. Is it?
Absolutely. Yeah. If they go on to transportforireland.ie, or you know, if they've any questions or need anything, info@nationaltransport.ie. Or we've a Facebook page, TFI Transport for Ireland. So, you know, any questions or anything are most welcome.
All right. Well, listen, I wish you well with it. Thank you again for taking time to talk to us about it. A lovely campaign, and I hope it works really well. Thanks a million, Michelle.
That's brilliant. Thanks a million, Ger. Thanks for your time.
Live on Era, presented by Ger Sweeney.